That should make you feel right at home.
It does.
It's very nice. A few years back, the French government honored Patricia Wells for her contribution to French culture. She writes about French food. The French read her books. Wells said she had her sights on a career in journalism since the third grade. College and stints at a few papers brought her to the New York Times as a food reporter in 1976. Her 1984 book, A Food Lover's Guide to Paris, became a must-read, must-taste for many travelers. It is also an app now. She's a journalist, an author, a teacher who has lived in France since 1980. She runs a cooking school with her husband and sous chef, Walter Wells. That's what it says in the book. He is the former executive editor of the International Herald Tribune. Classes for At Home with Patricia Wells are held in Paris and Provence. Her latest book is The French Kitchen Cookbook, Lessons from Paris and Provence. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you.
You know, I was curious about when food became important to you as a reporter.
Well, I always like to say that I ate before I wrote. So I guess food was always important. But I grew up in a good, solid Midwestern family. My mother was a great cook, Italian heritage. So I think I grew up thinking that it would always be surrounded by delicious food products. It never occurred to me that I would not be. And I think I've just, you know, followed the straight and narrow of having good food around me.
Were there times when you found yourself not surrounded by them and thought, this will not do?
No. Never. I mean, I've always made it happen.
You always did?
Yes. Except, you know, I didn't always love all of my mother's, you know, pork chops that were like, you know, she made great pastas and pizzas and ravioli, and those were all great.
What happened, do you suppose, with some cooks in the 50s and 60s that for some people, some skills in food disappeared?
I think, you know, for many, it was probably the very early beginnings of female liberation when, you know, when frozen food came in and canned food and so on and so forth. And, you know, my mother gave into that a tiny bit. Like, we loved the idea of chicken pot pies, and there wasn't too much of that around. But I think there was, I think for many women, my mother didn't buy into that, you know, but the element of the frozen peas and make life easier.
Mm-hmm.
And if your kids don't want to eat it anyway, what does it matter? You know, if you're slaving over the stove all day and they go, yuck. So,
yeah, well, we know that. Even with fine ingredients sometimes.
I'm sure.
What do you think of the term foodie?
I never liked it from the very beginning. I think it was coined in the 70s in England. Well, and it doesn't say anything to me. In fact, we were discussing this morning. I was thinking about what percentage of the world, or even of foodies, eat really well. I'm not sure. It's a huge percentage. I think being a foodie is just like a word that I'm into food and I'm into the latest restaurant or the latest ingredient.
But it's funny. I was reading an article and the writer said, well, Patricia Wells and her husband Walter were considered early foodies. And I was wondering what you were thinking you were doing back in the 70s as you were starting to report on and pay attention to fine food.
I was just loving food and doing what I love to do as a journalist, you know, interviewing people who did interesting things like cheesemakers and people who were, you know, making their own breads and so on. That's what I was excited about. And I've always felt that, you know, when I find something great, three people are happy. I find someone new to write about research. They're happy if I write about them. And then the consumer, the reader, is happy because they found someone new. And to me, it's always been, in fact, people say, well, don't you miss being a journalist? And I say, no, what I do now in my cooking schools is I'm a journalist researching, passing on information about food and recipes to my students or to my readers.
Patricia Wells' newest book is The French Kitchen Cookbook, Recipes and Lessons from Paris and Provence. When did you know that you had the confidence that you could face the work of cooking and teaching French foods and foods, but French foods?
Well, it came about in the 90s, and we first did our first class in 95, and I didn't know if I would like it. I didn't know if anyone would come. And so we just started with 2 weeks of classes in September of 95, and it just blossomed from there. People came, and those were the days when they, you know, they enrolled via the fax machine. And
see, you were making a joke about the fax today, Arwen, and yet we lived by the fax.
Oh, I know. And so it's grown, and it's extremely popular, and we're very happy because it's really what we both love to do a lot, a great deal, and it's...
And sharing. You guys like sharing it.
Exactly.
That's what you write about.
Well, it is. You know, I think often about, we have this lovely home in Provence, and granted, we have lots of friends who come and visit, but it's not the same sharing of a whole week of really using the property and using the region and sitting on the lovely terrace at sunset with a big group of people. I mean, if it's just the two of us, we don't go down and sit on the terrace at sunset, or we do sometimes, but it's not the same feeling. It's not the same festive, you know, sharing of all sitting around the table and having a wonderful time.
I want to ask you about three recipes.
Sure.
Just because, and we'll just hit them quick because there's so many in the book, but I've been really intrigued by anchovies a lot lately. And what was it, Jeff Bergman?
Yes, our, it's umami. It's the fifth flavor.
The fifth flavor.
It is.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And they can go into so many things, but it's very funny. This anchovy cream, which is just anchovies, capers, and a little bit of light cream, every time I make it and put it on anything, on bread or on little bits of puff pastry, people say, I don't like anchovies, but I like this. It's interesting. I think we have back in deep our minds this idea of something really strong and yucky and these tiny little smelly fish.
Now, is that because back then people didn't know how to prepare it, or we just would open the can and dismiss it, or we just,
I think our palates are a little more sophisticated today.
You do?
I think so. And you don't need a whole lot of anchovy to give a little, you know, a lot of flavor.
Yeah. It is so much fun. Also in this anchovy bites recipe, a 14-ounce sheet of Blitz puff pastry.
Right.
Or purchased all butter puff pastry thawed. So you are not adverse to going into the store and finding quality product?
No, I tell everybody that we all cook on two speeds, and some days we may want to make puff pastry, and the other days we want to may just buy it.
Peach leaf wine.
Right. Isn't it interesting?
Yes.
Well, first of all, you do need some organic peaches, and it's really just, it's not with peaches. It's made with the leaves of the peach that you macerate with a little bit of sugar. It is so aromatic and wonderful, and then you mix in a little bit wine and a little bit of vodka, and it pretty much lasts forever. I have some that's several years old in my cellar right now.
You say to do it, and once you add the sugar and you filter, you take out the...
You filter it out, yes.
Yeah. Then you let it sit for, what, 30 days, and then
yes.
It's ready to go.
That's right.
Is it does it taste like, is the peach really imbued?
No, it's very almond-like.
Almond-like.
Very almond-like. The peach leaf is amazing, totally amazing, but you need a really good organic, clean, unsprayed leaves from your neighbor.
That's pretty
neighbor.
Cool.
Yeah. No, it's a great one recipe.
Fresh, I mean, leaves of some age?
No, just right off the tree. Right off the tree.
That's great. And pea stew.
Pea stew is one of my favorites. And in this book,
you make a winter one.
We have a winter pea stew. And the difference is, instead of using pasta, I will use the equivalent of farro, which is épeautre in France. And I'll use a little bit more carrot and maybe some potatoes and so on. So it's a much more wintry dish.
What do you want your students or those of us reading this book to leave with? What is the essence that you're imparting?
Great ingredients, simplicity, and put color on the plate.
Put color on the plate.
Right.
You write about using very simple china.
Yes. White china is the best. Make your food beautiful. It adds 20% pleasure and you only have to work 80% as hard.
Is it hard to make the food beautiful?
No.
What are the other
tricks? I think, you know, simple little things like garnishes. I tell people, go crazy with herbs. You know, use lots and lots of herbs. It will change your whole palate. It'll change the way your food looks, the way it tastes. And don't be afraid to, you know, put 3 or 4 or 5 herbs as a garnish.
Well, that's fun. Just have fun.
Have fun.
But
have
learn fun. Some basic skills.
Exactly, exactly. Think about what you're going to do. Think about a menu. Don't just slap a bunch of dishes together.
Yeah, I notice that you also tell people don't be afraid of writing it out.
That's
so
right.
So you have and laying out your ingredients.
Right. Mise en place, very important. Weighing and measuring and getting all your ingredients together, because then you will be much more confident and calm cook. Have your music playing, have a little glass of wine, and you'll be very happy.
You still look like you're having fun doing this.
I am.
Years.
And when it stops being fun, I quit.
What does it mean to have an app about, you know, a guide to eating in Paris, for example? Has it changed the way restaurants do their work or the way people perceive restaurants?
Well, I think the app was probably one of the most fun projects I ever did, because you really get to be the boss of you, for good or for bad. But what I love is, in fact, yesterday I made 2 or 3 changes in the app, and they're, you know, it's all corrected, and you open your app today and you've got the corrections.
Patricia Wells' book is The French Kitchen Cookbook, Recipes and Lessons from Paris and Provence. also an updated and always changing version of her app, which I am going to download, Food Lover's Guide to Paris. Thank you very much.
Thanks. This was wonderful.
This is The Record.